All right. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about distractions and the devil's device to destroy the believer. We're going to talk about some distractions, and because Brother Nate preached a sermon a few weeks ago, and it was a very good sermon on redeeming the time. And one thing he mentioned there, the Lord had been working on me a few months before that about this, and I kept thinking about distractions and how, you know, we have to be careful not to be distracted, not to be taken off course. You know, you got to deal with things when they come up, but not to be distracted. You know, so anyway, I'm sorry. I got to turn that over. People send me crazy stuff sometimes, and I'm laughing at Jim. So, all right. I was distracted. That's right. I've got to turn it over. See how easy that happens? Jim's going to be known as the man that distracted me today. But anyway, but I thought about that being distracted and how that can happen very easily to us, as you can see. You can be distracted very easily and taken off, but really, you know, taken off from what God wants you to do, what God has for your life. The devil can throw out a bunch of distractions to us and get us to where we're not paying attention, really, and we've been subverted, kind of, and taken away from the main focus of what God wants us to do, and we have been, you know, taken down another road. And I'm going to kind of explain that to you here today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Boy, is that ever true. Man, the time is short. Amen. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. You know, Paul is discussing here, he's saying that, you know what, it's time to get busy for the Lord. It's time to get your life in order and not to be carried away with everything else or taken away with other things, but to be focused on what the Lord has for you to do. That's what God wants. So, you know, the time is not to be distracted by looking. He says, it talks about weeping, as they that weep, as though they wept not, and they that rejoice, as though they rejoice not. So not to be taken in by anything or detained by anything, which I'm going to explain to you in a little while. Not to be taken in by anything or taken or consumed by anything except the Lord and what God wants you to do. The will of God for your life. Amen? He says, and they that use this world as not abusing it. Right? You know, there's such thing as using something but not abusing it.
Amen.
Right? There's a difference in that. And Paul is explaining that. For the fashion of this world passeth away. And all the trends and the fashions and all the way of this world, it passes away always. It's unmovable, or it's movable. It's always moving around. It's going to pass away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord.
Amen.
But he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. It shows the difference. As a man, when he is married, it's different. His responsibilities change. You know, he's going to take care of a wife. She's going to have to care for a husband.
Yep.
And that changes things. That changes the dynamic of things.
Yeah.
How he may please the Lord. He that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So the Bible, God is telling us, and through the Apostle Paul here, that we ought to attend upon the Lord, to work, right? Without distraction. Not to be distracted or carried away with anything. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now and bless us, use us, and show us, Lord, from your word, these distractions and how serious they are and how they can take us away from what you'd have us to do. And it's the devil's tool to use. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Paul starts it out. Paul starts out this chapter saying, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So Paul is dealing with fornication. He's dealing with that. He's dealing with the relationship between a husband and wife. He's saying, you know what? You get married because you're not allowed to fornicate. It's not right. So Paul deals with that. He deals with fornication. He deals with that very specifically. He says that's wicked. The Bible talks about fornicators and adulterers, that they shall not inherit eternal life. The Bible's very clear about that. Fornication is that touching outside of wedlock, okay? That physical relationship outside of marriage. That is fornication. Inside of marriage, if a man does that against his wife, that is adultery. Now, it all can be labeled fornication. All right, in the broader sense, it's all fornication. That comes from that word porneia, which is where pornography comes from, and other words like that. All those things are evil in the sight of the Lord.
Yep.
You know, if you're not married, you have no lawful right to be with a woman. You have no lawful right unless you're married. So, right, you're a thief. That's right. So the Bible says if you're not married. So God takes that very seriously, the sin of fornication. Now he goes on, he starts to talk about the married, because he's dealing with people that are desired to be married in this time. There's this time period where, you know, they were desired to be married and there was a lot of persecution. All right, a lot of things were happening at that time. And he is dealing with that, and then he comes to this point where he talks about that, you know what, it may be expedient for the time for them not to be married because of the persecution that was going on. You know, but he says it's not wrong for them to marry. But he's saying, you know, that it might be expedient for the persecution's sake that they be not married. Okay? So, but he talks about waiting upon the Lord without distraction. To attend upon the Lord without a distraction. You know, life is absolutely full of distractions.
Oh, yeah.
And the devil uses distractions against the people of God. I believe he throws them at us, and sadly, many times we fall for those distractions.
Yeah.
And we get taken away with it. We get taken away with distractions. Distraction, confusion. What does that mean? It means confusion from a multiplicity of objects.
Wow.
Crowding on the mind in calling the attention different ways. Right? Perplexity of the mind as the family was in a state of distraction. Notice that Webster, he says that of a multiplicity of objects crowding the mind.
Yep.
So everything wanting your mind's attention. Everything. And Paul says he was worried about them attending upon the Lord without distraction, that they wouldn't be taken away or distracted from things. Okay? And he said for them to wait upon the Lord without that, or to attend upon the Lord, which means wait or to serve as well. But we'll get to that in a little while here. You know, I think the invention of the internet and social media can be distractions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're definitely that. I think that distraction has gotten a lot worse since the internet and everything else. I think it's very easy to be distracted. It's so easy because of the random posts on something like on Facebook to take us from one thing to the next and keep our mind distracted from reality. We're bouncing around to like different subjects all the time, right? So if there's like 10 to 15 different subjects on there, you're bouncing from different things and your mind is just like, all these things are just like flooding your mind constantly, where you can't focus on one thing and study on one thing many times, but your mind is just filled with so many thoughts of different things. And your mind starts to move in that direction if you're not careful. That's why it's important, and we'll get to that, how to battle those distractions and things like that. But, anyway, that's part of what's taking place today as well. It's affected the way that we think, the way that we process our thoughts, or even the way that we study.
Yep.
You know, I believe the devil has used that for his advantage, and we've become ignorant of his devices.
Yeah.
You know, because he can use that. The devil will use that tool of distraction to damage the people of God, to hinder the work that God has called them to do, and to drag them down from the place that God wants them.
Yep.
So number one, I want to talk about this, the immediate distraction of the single's life. In the single's life. If you are single, there's an immediate distraction that you must be concerned with, I believe. And Paul says this, turn to verse number 32. But I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. The Bible is clear that the single person's duty is to care for the things of the Lord, and not how he or she may please the Lord. That's what they are to be concentrated on. As a single person, that is, listen, I think one of the problems is that there are a lot of people that are single out there, and even in our church we have some young people that are single, and one of the problems is that I'm not so sure that you are waiting upon the Lord or attending by the Lord without distraction.
Yep.
That you are concentrated and focused on your life with Christ.
Yep.
That your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will show in your growth process whether that is true. You don't have some of the same excuses, so to speak, as a married lady does or a married man does in the fact that you don't have a family to take care of and a husband or a wife to take care of and children to raise and everything else, that you should be attending upon the Lord. You should be serving the Lord without distraction. It ought to consume your life. This book, Living for God, Serving Others Through Serving the Lord, ought to consume your life. It should not be about desires and things that consume your mind and that take you away or distract you from what the Lord wants you to do. He says in verse number 35, "And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction." Paul is telling them that if they are single, they should wait upon the Lord without distraction. That is, they should not be distracted or consumed with being married. And that is all they can focus on is getting married or being married or finding a husband or finding a wife. And they become so consumed with it that they're distracted from the main focus, which is for them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of times, listen, you get your life in order first. Before you ever look to bring somebody else into your life, because you do not understand the amount of damage that you can cause somebody.
Oh, yes.
If you are not the person. You know, you may have a desire to be married, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you're single here, you may have a desire to be married, have a desire to be a husband or a wife. But you know what? If you are not biblically right where you are supposed to be, you may be the worst helpmeet that person has ever, would ever imagine having in their life, and destroy their life. And listen, I can speak that from some experience with dealing with situations like that.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Right, preacher.
Watching a man come in here and do that, and see him marry somebody, and totally just try to attempt to destroy everything in his path.
Yep. Oh yeah.
It's not a game. But sometimes people get so absolutely consumed, and single people get so absolutely consumed with being married. I mean, they got everything planned out, everything pictured out of how everything's going to be. Man, I'm telling you, you are in for...
Oh, yeah.
You're in for a surprise. Because
yeah.
What you think everything is going to work out to be, and how you think everything is going to be, is not necessarily how it is. When you start dealing with people every day, a spouse and a wife or a husband every day, and you wake up and you have responsibilities and you have duties and you have children and you have everything else right, it's not what you think it is.
Nope.
That honeymoon doesn't last forever.
Nope.
Huh? Cakewalk. Carrie's not allowed to talk, Lee, in church. So you can say what you want. But I've known you a long time. Anyway, but the point is that when real life sets in and you have duties and you have responsibilities and you have and the love and the care, no, we don't begrudge any of those things. But the point is that life changes. And you know what? You don't get to concentrate on the Word of God and in growing it and everything else as much as you would when you have children to take, before you have children to take care of, and before you have responsibilities that are necessary to do, and all of those things. It changes things.
Yep.
The responsibility of life changes. Right? It does. There's some things that are put into perspective. But right now, as a single person, I see some people that are absolutely consumed with that. But where are you growing in the Lord?
Amen.
Are you growing in the Lord? Are you concentrating on your service to God?
Amen.
How are you serving God? Just how are you serving God? How are you living? And how are you working on yourself so you're even the person that potential person needs?
Yep. Yeah.
Right? How can you be quiet? How can you offer them What do you have to offer them as a person?
Yeah.
Do you have a godly example? Are you a godly person? Or do you love the Lord? Do you seek His face? Are you disciplined? Can you discipline your own self? Can you discipline your own action? Can you rule well your own spirit before you link with somebody else?
Yep.
Before you're yoked together with somebody else, do you have rule over your own spirit?
Yep. Amen.
Think about it. Are you just looking for somebody to please you and take care of you?
Yeah, that's it.
Is that it? So it's all about you making you feel better. Making you be fulfilled or feel fulfilled. So it doesn't matter about the other person. What I have to offer them, what I can do for them. What will I add to them? Grief, stress, and divorce? Or love? Honor and respect. And self-sacrifice.
Amen.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, self-denial doesn't start when you get married. It starts when you get saved.
Amen.
And if you can't deny yourself now, you have no business putting a ring on anybody's finger or marrying anybody.
Yeah.
Oh. None. Because all you're going to do is make it worse. The Bible says they're to wait upon the Lord without distraction. That doesn't mean you don't desire to be married. That's not what the Bible is talking about. That's not what Paul is talking about. He addresses that in other verses here. The point is that your focus ought to be the Lord. And Paul says, you get married, yeah, you're going to be distracted by life, by things that you have to do.
Oh, yeah.
By being a husband, by being a wife, by taking care of children, by doing all those things. You're going to be distracted. Right? But meanwhile, your focus right now as a single person is to be on the Lord. How's your relationship with the Lord?
Amen.
Are you abstaining from all appearance of evil? Are you keeping your flesh clean? Are you staying out of fornication, sexual misconduct, and all of those things? Are you staying free? Are you being pure? Are you living holy, pure in thought and in mind?
Amen.
Are you obeying the Bible when it says that it's not good for a man to touch a woman? That means
Amen.
There's no physical contact with somebody that you're interested in?
Amen. That's good preaching.
It's all what the Bible talks about.
Right.
That includes like hugging and kissing and necking or whatever people call it nowadays. Same thing. All those things.
Amen.
Right? That's what it includes.
Yep. Amen.
That's why the Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Why? Because you'll fornicate. That's why.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
Natural effects, right.
That's pretty simple to understand, yeah. Right? I can speak that as a lost man, that I know that if I don't touch somebody, I won't get in trouble.
Amen.
Right?
Exactly right.
Amen? Pretty simple.
Amen.
Amen. All right. The Bible says there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord. By the way, that's meaning that an unmarried woman ought to be a virgin.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Right? You know? The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. That's what your life as a single person, man or woman, that's what you're holy in body and in spirit. Saved also. I mean, married too. But the point is that the focus he has here is on the unmarried.
Yep.
The unmarried careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. It changes. Your focus changes.
Yep.
It's just true. You have a husband to please now, and life is different.
Yep.
Right? You as a single, can this be said about you? That as you're unmarried, that you want to be holy in both body and spirit? Is your single life a life of holiness? Or are you so distracted by wanting to be married and find a spouse that you are not growing in holiness and in the fear of the Lord, having pure thoughts and keeping your mind and body pure? Amen.
Amen.
Boy, that's not preached much today, is it?
Oh, no,
that's not talked about hardly at all, is it?
Nope.
No, that's not very popular. That won't build a big church talking about things like that.
Nope.
No, but it'll help build some strong Christians.
Amen. Amen.
It'll help build some strong Christians that actually have some convictions that believe the Bible.
Right.
You know, the greatest problem that you'll have in life after you get saved, or even when you're saved, if you sin against God, is dealing with that sin of knowing that you sinned and you were saved and dealing with those things.
Amen.
Those are hard. right? The focus of your life as a single person is to wait upon the Lord without distraction. That waiting means serving, like a waiter, right? That attending or that waiting. It means like it means being a servant. I'm going to tell you what. If you're a single lady right now and you're not a servant, don't get married. Don't get married.
Right.
You stay single, and if you don't want to get right with God, you'll stay a selfish person, and that's fine. You do that. If you're not a servant, stay single. Because you have no idea what ladies in this church go through in serving their husbands, right, their children, and everything else. They are servants.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And they sacrifice their own bodies, definitely, and their self, and their rest, and their comfort, and everything to serve their husbands and their families.
Amen.
And if that's not you, stay far away from marriage.
Yep.
Amen.
Right.
Hey, is that too real?
Truth.
Right.
I'm telling you, that's just the truth. If you're not willing to be a servant, then don't get married.
Right.
That goes for a husband, too, by the way, because he serves, too. He gives himself for his wife.
Amen.
The point is that mom is doing it a lot more.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it's not easy work.
No.
In fact, you could not pay a mother what she's worth.
Yep.
Right.
No.
Right.
That's why when people send their wife to work to go pay the bills and everything else like that, they're putting a wage on that that is... Her price at home, priceless.
Yep.
You cannot put a price on someone taking care of your children and loving you and caring for you. Yep. You can't put a price on that.
Right.
There's not enough money in this world to pay for that.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Right.
For the safety and the security and everything that goes along with that.
Amen.
For those children and everything else, we could not pay them enough. It's not possible to pay them their worth.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And that's why the devil wants you out of the home, lady.
Yep.
That's why he wants you having a career and not being a mother and a keeper and home. Why? Because he knows how much it's worth. That's why.
Right.
Man, he wants you out of there.
Yep.
Man, he wants you out of there. He wants you to sell out cheap for the world. He wants your husband to sell out cheap for a buck.
Right. Yep.
For an extra car or a boat or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a comfortable life to sell out.
That you don't need.
Man, I don't know how I got on this so long, brother. I wouldn't plan on staying on this that long, but it just...
Amen.
It's just kind of natural here.
That's good preaching.
Man. Oh, it's not really the... I mean, not really. It's just like the opening part.
Introduction.
He preaches.
I don't really have introductions, but this seems like a kind of a long one. But anyway. Single Christians can be easily distracted, though, from what God wants them to do and their focus. But their focus needs to be on pleasing the Lord. Remember what that is, the definition of distraction, confusion from a multiplicity of objects crowding on the mind and calling the attention different ways. How about it, single Christians? Is that your focus? Or is your mind so consumed and distracted by desiring a spouse so badly that you cannot live a fruitful Christian life and there's a snare upon you? Nothing wrong with having a desire to be married. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
What's wrong with that is if your life is completely consumed by it and you cannot focus on the things of God and you cannot grow the way that you should. I see a grave danger in single Christians being so consumed with wanting to be married that the devil is using that distraction so they cannot be fruitful. And you don't work on yourself. God will bring somebody in your life if it's His will.
Amen.
I don't care where you're at.
Amen.
You know, I think of the church that when I married my wife, that little church. Now you think about it, way smaller than us here.
Beautiful.
There was like, 25 people at the most on a Sunday, and half of them were bus kids. Pretty much. Anyway, a lot of them were bus kids, right? But anyway, that's what they were, right? And she didn't go to Bible college or anything else. She was there. And my dad and mom were attending that church, and they'd been there for 3 or 4 years, I think, at that point, praying for me. I didn't know that this girl in Iowa in, where was that at? Bettendorf, Iowa. Bettendorf, Iowa was praying for me.
Amen.
Right? I didn't know that, but she was praying, and the whole church was praying that my brother and I would get right with God, and that God would do something in our lives. And my parents, she had no idea. That church had no idea they were praying for a husband for her, or a wife for me. Now, she said she knew when, once she saw me when I came in, she said she told somebody that she was going to marry me.
Amen.
And I said, no way. I told my dad, no way.
I said, go buy the marriage license.
It was coming, right? No way. But it happened.
Amen.
Right? Small church. Now, God sent her a husband. God can send you one here, too, or a wife here, too.
Right.
Amen. God can do that.
Amen.
But your focus needs to be the Lord and serving God and being faithful to Him.
Amen.
Right? Many are distracted from the obedience to the Lord and dedication that they need. And that's one of the... So in a single person's life, that's a major distraction. That can be, if they're not careful. A lot of times, it's the person that's not looking for somebody that God sends them somebody.
Yep.
I mean, they're not even looking for that. They just, whatever, you know, if it happens, it happens. And then, boom. Right? That's when it happens. Number two, the cares of this life can be a distraction. Mark chapter 4, verse number 19. Tell you, the devil will use distractions. The devil will use this, the cares of this life, the cares of this world. Mark chapter 4, verse number 19. Right? And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, I believe in the context this is dealing with a lost person,
yep.
But you have to understand there's still a principle there that applies that you and I could be distracted by the cares of this world. You know, we're not to love the world. Why? Because we can be caught up with it. We can be caught and we can be distracted. Right. Keep yourselves from idols. That's a warning. Why? Because you can be distracted very easily, very quickly. The cares of this world can be a major distraction to the people of God. I like what one preacher said. He said, the perplexing and distressing cares of it, get as much of it as they can. That's what people want. For themselves and their families. They fill their minds and possess their souls, even when and while they are hearing the word. And the deceitfulness of riches, or riches which are deceitful, especially when trusted in and being obtained, they do not give the satisfaction they promise. And the lust of other things enter in, carnal desires after other objects which are pleasing to the sensual mind, entering into their hearts and gaining the ascendant there. Choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You know, there are a lot of Christians and young people here that what happens, not here, but I mean, that what happens is they get carried away. They get distracted very easily by the cares of this world. There are a lot of Christians in churches today that they don't serve God effectively or faithfully. And why? Because they're distracted. They're distracted by the cares of this life, by this world. This world has attracted them, and they are ensnared by it. They are taken by it. They are taken by it, and they are consumed. They think they got to have the best car, the best home, the best job. They've got to move upward all the time. They've got to always have. And they compromise truths that are in the Word of God to achieve those things. And I believe many of those people are saved. It's great gain, that's right. How many are distracted from the things of God due to the cares of this life and deceitfulness of riches? Yes, they get all they can and can't all they get, right? They've got to have everything. They must have it all. They must keep up with the world. They have to keep the two-income family situation.
Yep.
You know why so many children in Christians' homes are going to hell? Because the children of Christian parents. That's why.
Right.
Because they're distracted by the deceitfulness of riches. They got to have everything. Well, I can't compromise. I can't have this. I can't have that. So, you know, in order to do that, I got to send my wife to work. I've got to do these things in order to pay for everything.
Never.
And they're never happy.
Nope.
Never. And they're always trying to get more. Always trying to get more things.
Yep.
Never satisfied, never happy, but always trying to get more. Right? All right, there's a hole in the bag. That's right. Always. They've got to have the overpriced house. A lot of these houses, a lot of these people have gotten, they had bought $300,000, $400,000 houses. And when the market crashed and their balloon went up or whatever, and they were done, right?
Yep.
And they were in trouble. Why? They had to foreclose on the house, and they had to get, why? Because they, the deceitfulness of riches, right? Yep. The cares of this life. They always had to have something bigger and better. You didn't need that. I mean, some of these people don't even have that many children.
Yeah, right.
And they got 5-6-bedroom homes, and they don't have any children. Right. Some of them don't have any. Or have one or something. You know what I mean? And they have to have that. Why? Because they're carried away. Dad is too busy trying to keep up with the world that he'll sacrifice his own children on the altar of the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. Right? People get distracted by career as well. They've got to always move up. Man, I've got to move up. And they'll sacrifice their family and everything else just to move ahead, to get ahead. Never see their family, never spend time with them, never enjoy any time with them, right? Always moving up. Worried about moving up so much and making so much money that they cannot do a thing for the Lord's work. They're completely distracted, taken by wanting everything. The lust of other things enter in and choke the word, the Bible says. They lust after other things. They lust after everything. Got to have everything. It's just the lust of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, right? That's what it is. Have to have everything and willing to sacrifice their family to see it happen. That's right. Wanting everything. Number three, entertainment and amusements are distractions.
Yep.
So many people are consumed with hobbies or amusements or entertainments or whatever the case may be, that they are so consumed with them that they don't have time to serve the Lord. They're too busy with their hobby.
Yeah, right.
Right? Can't ever do anything for God. Because where are they? They're somewhere else doing something else to please their own flesh or to please the world.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
So many people today, you know what amusement means? That which amuses. Now listen to this. This is a very important definition that you need to understand.
Right.
That which amuses. Detains or engages the mind. Entertainment of the mind, pastime, a pleasurable occupation of the senses, or that which furnishes it as dancing, sports, or music. This is back in Webster's, 1828. Notice what it says. It says it detains the mind. Do you understand that? Which means it distracts it from serious things. What does that word detain mean, though? It means to hold in custody. Entertainment detains the mind. That's what it does. It takes it captive.
Yep.
And you're no longer, just like average movies, if you watch a movie after, what is it, like 10 minutes, part of your brain shuts down that reasons or that critically thinks,
yeah, right.
And they just start watching the movie and all they're doing is taking it all in. They're absorbing everything. Why? Your mind, you're detained. Your mind is held in custody. Somebody has taken, something has taken custody, or an entity has taken custody and detained your mind. I always like it when I post those videos or somebody posts one of those Hollywood videos and somebody says, what are we supposed to do for fun now? What are we supposed to do now? So we don't watch TV and movies. What are we supposed to do? And I can keep you busy.
Yeah. Right. Oh, there you go about that.
And I can keep you real busy. Amen. You need something to do? There's always something to do with the Lord's word.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
There's always something to do.
Amen.
Always. Just all you gotta do is ask. Yeah. All you have to do is ask. But that's what it means. It means to detain the mind, which means distracts it from serious things. From being sober-minded. 8 times again in the scriptures, we're told to be sober-minded. For our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. But this world is constantly about entertainment and detaining your mind.
Yep.
taking your mind captive constantly, to hold it in custody, to hold in custody, to literally arrest your mind. Right? That's right, and Hollywood uses mind control.
Right.
In more ways than one. So many men today name the name of Christ but do no service for him. Why? They're too busy being entertained. Their mind's taken hold of in custody. You know what that means? Is like when you ask a police officer, am I being detained? Well, some of you have never asked a police officer that. I have. But, you know, you ask them, am I being detained, right? And they answer, what does that mean? I'm being taken into custody, right? I'm under their custody now. Brother Ickes always taught us, he said, once they put their hand on your shoulder, they're probably detaining you. So don't move. Just stand still. Don't move. Put your hands behind your back. And praise God. Amen? That's for street preaching. That's not for doing something illegal. but that's being detained, right? It's being held captive. It's taken. That's what that means. That could be music or sports or movies. There's so many people that are so consumed with sports.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just they're absolutely consumed. They don't know the books of the Bible, but they know like all their favorite members of the team. They know all their names. They know their jersey numbers, right? But they don't even know numbers in Scripture. They couldn't show you where numbers is in the Bible, but they know the numbers in Scripture, right? Or they know the numbers of the jerseys and everything, right? They know all their favorite teams. They know their averages, everything else, but they don't know anything about the Bible.
Right.
Now, why is that? Because they're detained, that's right. Yeah. That's why they're distracted. These are people that name the name of Christ, but they know nothing about godly living or separation or living for the Lord. Why? Because they're not in God's book. Some of them are just baby Christians that have never grown, and they're immature. And when you talk about it, there was a guy down in Minneapolis at the, I think it was the Target Center. Yeah, it was the Target Center. Is that where the hockey game goes on, or is that XL?
Oh,
it was both of those places we've seen this guy. But he was outside of a basketball game at the Target Center. And he goes to a Baptist church somewhere in the area, and he was just, like, really upset. I guess somebody mentioned like sports idolatry or something, and it's probably Garrett, but usually is always Garrett. So. Oh, was it? Oh, I thought it was Garrett, but yeah, we won't talk about that. Anyway, they talk about sports, and these guys like, you know, he's got this. I mean, he is decked out. He's got a jersey on. He's got like a hat on. He's got like everything on, right? He just looks like a walking billboard for the team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got everything on for the team. And he's like, I don't know why you guys think this is idolatry. I don't know. I mean, you're a fundamental Baptist, and you're mad at Bible preaching, and you're pointing a finger, and you're mad at Bible preachers about preaching against whatever, you know, whatever sins that are out there. And we don't even preach all the time on, like, sports idolatry, and that's not, like, every time we go out there or whatever, but or not the whole conversation or whatever, the whole message. But it's funny because then the guy, he's like, I don't know why you guys say this, and I talked to my pastor, and he said it was fine. I'm like, oh, okay, great. Well, why? Let me ask you a question. What is there good and biblical that you could support in football or in basketball or anything else? Is it the booze that they have at the games? Is it the half-naked cheerleaders that are dancing in front of you? Just exactly what is it that is godly and biblical that edifies you, that builds you in your most holy faith? Well, the difference is today we have people that are so consumed with entertainment. I'm not saying if you watch a basketball game, you're a sports idolater. I think it's a waste of time, but I mean, we all waste time doing some things that we shouldn't do. But the point is, there are more buses that are lined up from Baptist churches that are going into the events than there are preachers standing outside of the events warning sinners.
Right.
Wouldn't it be more profitable to be standing outside of that event as a Christian? And because of the sports idolatry in the land today, how people are absolutely consumed with sports everywhere, I mean absolutely consumed with
right.
it. Yep. I'm not talking about just like a, you know, somebody that likes something, but no, they are consumed with it.
Right. Yep.
They know everything about it, and they get mad at Bible preaching. Why? Well, they're a fanatic. That's what it means to be a fan.
Right.
And they call us a fanatic. Well, you're fanatics. I don't want to be that. I don't want to go that far. I don't want to be a fanatic. Well, have you looked at the way you're dressed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have scripture signs on. Yeah, we have banners that we're holding. Well, you have your signs on, too.
Right.
And you're waving your
foam finger.
I want a foam finger.
Yeah.
I want to get a Baptist foam finger with scripture on it. I want to get one of those. I want to have one made up. I think it'd be awesome. I'm going to get one. Anyway. I just want to be a fanatic like them for Christ so I can say, look, see? Jesus is number one.
Right.
Put it right there. Right? Yeah, they listen to sports talk radio all the time. ESPN's always running. Radio is running all the time. All those things, right? They're a fanatic. They say, you're a fanatic. I know I am, but so are you. Yes, I'm an extremely big fan of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Is there something to, am I supposed to be ashamed of that?
Amen. They think so.
You're not ashamed of walking around with the gods that you serve.
Yep.
That's hard, isn't it? But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Right.
See, this is just that sober-minded, get serious about the Lord type thing, that you're not distracted by things like that. I see it with youth too. Growing up in the Christian schools, I watch them that they're consumed with sports.
Yep.
They duck out of church early to get to the sporting event.
Right.
Right. When I first went to a church in Minnesota here, I sat and I just looked up and I was called to preach and I was coming to serve the Lord and be a pastor. And I looked up and there was this kid there and he was like 19 years old. I was only like 25 at the time, but he was like 19 years old. And he was like, I'm going to reach the baseball world for Christ. I'm like,
what?
He was going to be a baseball player to get a scholarship because he was going to reach the baseball world for Jesus Christ. You know, he came back looking like a long-haired hippie, fornicating and running around like a devil.
Yep. Right.
Well, I think they reached you.
Yep.
Right.
I don't think you reached them.
Right. They have evangelists.
Right? See? I mean, by the way, the fact that he came back with the long hair was a rebellion. He was doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
You understand that? That was all a rebellious thing. That's what that was about. But when he got up there and they let him preach, and that's what they call preaching, he got up and gave a testimony. This is before he had the long hair. This is when he was leaving to go reach the baseball world for Christ through Bible college. That had a team that played baseball. Good story, bro. All right. Anyway. So he got up there and he was talking about that. He was going to go reach the baseball world for Christ. He was going to do this. And I was listening to it. I was like, this is a sermon, really? He's talking about reaching the base. He's going to go play baseball. Who's fooled by this? I'm like looking around like, oh. When I think back on it, I'm like, did anybody really believe that? Because I didn't believe it at all. I'm pretty sure I told my wife, I did not believe that at all.
You
weren't
shouting amen.
No, I wasn't shouting amen. I was like, what?
Amen.
Are you kidding me? Man, I got saved from a life of hell, man. From wickedness. Everything that these people run to, I got saved from.
Amen.
So when I start to look at this and I hear them talk about reaching the baseball world, all right, stand outside a game and preach.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I tell you. You said, I want to reach the baseball world for Christ. Okay, stand outside the game and start preaching.
Amen.
We'll see how much they love you.
Amen.
They won't.
But they're distracted. They're just distracted by it. I know. You know what? Some of this preaching, if you've never heard it before, it's kind of harsh. But it's real.
Amen.
It's just raw and real is what it is.
Amen.
And some of it is from watching, experience of years of watching this stuff go on and people acting like everything was okay. Like, this is normal stuff. And it was totally foreign to what I had seen in the scriptures and what I had read after other men that preached and everything else from years gone by. You know, but that entertainment could be that thing that could detain or could captivate your mind or take your mind. That could be music, sports, or movies. It could be music as well. There are people that listen to me. I'm not talking about godly music. I'm talking about they listen to worldly, CCM, and other things like that. They are listening to all this modern music, and they are taken by this music. Rock music, all this, they're taken by it. They're absolutely taken by it. They're captivated by it. By the way, rock and roll music was never honorable to God. It was always wicked. God always hated it. It's never had anything to do with the Bible. It's never had anything to do with God. In an upcoming show, Sound the Battle Cry, we're doing, we're going to talk about drums, and we're going to talk about biblical guidelines for music. Two different shows. But those are two shows we're going to deal with. And we're going to talk about how the fact that drums, yeah, not biblical to use for God's music. Rock and roll music was never biblical. By the way, if you don't believe that, listen to what the rock and roll artists and the founders of rock and roll music, I mean the modern day founders of it, that played it, listen to their own testimony. Go back and listen to my series on rock music. I read you their exact words. They say rock and roll music has always been the devil's music. It's always been about rebellion. Even Skillet.
Even
that's right. So, people today are so distracted, they watch hours of brainless nonsense that won't really help them grow in the Lord, but will distract them from reality. I got to be entertained, so I got to be distracted from all reality and spend my life and my time completely suspended from reality and my mind detained or taken captive by utter nonsense. You can say the same thing for fantasy books and romance novels and all that other garbage out there. Your mind being taken and captivated and detained by it. You know, I'd be careful about reading a lot of fiction or fantasy books and everything like that. Why? Because a lot of them, they have no reality to them at all, and they keep you in a state of not being sober-minded or serious. I watched these young people when I first got saved, I watched them grow up reading Animorphs and all those other books. None of them are really serious about the Lord.
Yeah, I read that show.
Yeah. They're not serious. And they like all the magic in movies and they...
Right. Yep.
Right? They were indoctrinated with it. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with having games or playing or anything like that. It's wrong to be consumed with it.
Right.
It's wrong for you to be consumed with it. When you know more about the things of this world than the things of the Word of God, you've got a problem.
Yep, right.
Amen.
When you can't quote Scripture and you can't share the Bible and you can't teach the Bible and help others, if you can't do that, but you can tell somebody about your favorite sports team or music or bands or anything else, you got a problem, friend. You're
right.
Distracted.
Right. Amen.
You are distracted by the world. You are distracted by the things of this life. You're distracted. Your mind is detained. And that's why some men and women can't wait upon the Lord without distraction, because of sports, movies, hobbies. They have them. They're distracted by it. They're taken by it. Taken captive by it. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 17. Bible warns us, by the way, about pleasure seeking. It says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 17, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." They're pleasure seekers. Today we have so many pleasure seekers that want to please the flesh. And that's all that matters, is pleasing the flesh. They cannot deny their flesh, take up their cross, and follow Christ. You want to know why there's not 500 preachers down there at different events around that Planned Parenthood and all the other events around there? You want to know why they're not? Because most of them are pleasure seekers. That's why. They don't want to deny their flesh, take up their cross, and follow Christ. They don't want to suffer the reproach of Christ outside of the camp. They don't want to do that. They're not willing to do that. They're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The Bible says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man." Churches today are full of entertainment. You know, people ask, well, does your church have a thriving or big youth ministry with rock music, a youth pastor I call a youth court jester? They're just there to play games with people?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but by the way, does anybody know, since when is playing games a part of the Assembly of the Saints? That's supposed to be a part of it. You come here and that you've got to play games and you've got to have a whole entertainment set for children or for youth. Right? You don't find it in the Bible anywhere.
Right.
Where you got to have a youth pastor, you got to have everything else. There's no youth pastor in the Bible. It's not there. Jed grew up with a youth pastor. I'm sorry. I really am, honestly. I'm sorry. Because they lead a lot of people astray. They play a lot of games. They teach your children. I mean, have you ever watched some of their meetings? All these kids get together, and they hire some hotshot evangelist to come in. They got youth pastors come in, and they're all playing games. And they're playing the stupidest games. I can't even remember some of the dumb games. What are some of them? Duck, Duck, Goose? That's not stupid. I played that when I was like 5. Knock it off. That's going too far, brother. You're not allowed to talk for at least 10 minutes now. You can't be yelling Duck, Duck, Goose like that. Right? Where did that come from, Nathan? What's your problem with Duck, Duck, Goose? You played Duck, Duck, Goose, didn't you? Duck, Duck, what? Gray Duck. This must be a Minnesota thing.
It's a farm boy thing.
It is, man.
That is it. Nobody ever says Gray Duck. That is gut. Is that how you played it? Gray Duck? You played a goose, didn't you? They're fighting over it now. Oh, no, don't do that. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll drop it. Duck, Duck, Goose has been a distraction now. See, that's... See? You've been used to be a distraction.
But the youth group, that's like 16, 17...
Right, but we're talking about 16, 17, 18-year-old adult, or kids, young men and young ladies that are supposed to be training to be adults and everything like that, and they're out playing games. They're playing goofy... I mean, I watched some of my, I couldn't believe it online, some of the, and how is that training them to be adults?
Right.
How are you training them and growing them up in their most holy faith?
Right.
What's that? Yeah, and the boys and girls together, right. And everything else just throwing them together? Yeah. That's just a recipe for disaster.
Right?
That's all that is. But anyway, you see this, it's like the Big Top Bozo show. I don't know if you know what Bozo is in Minnesota. You know what Bozo is? Down south, you don't know nothing about Bozo. That's right.
About Howdy Doody.
No, that's like 60, 70 years ago, Dad.
Yeah. Right in there.
I don't think they know who Howdy Doody is. Sorry. Brother Finney does. Right. You didn't like it either? Well, it's kind of scary. You see his face? It's like a little devil or something. No. Bozo was scary enough. But they had the grand prize game. But, you know, here's the thing, okay? Now you have adults that are young adults that are that age, that they're playing the grand prize game that I watched when I was like 5 years old. You're all looking at me like, what's the grand prize game? Oh, you set up like 6 buckets, and you take a ball, and you got to throw it in there. And it was on like 5 o'clock in the morning, so all the kids had to get up early to watch it, right? So, mind control. Anyway, but they throw the ball into the bucket, and they go, yay! And everybody... And if you get it all the way to the end, you get the grand prize. So anyway. So we did in Illinois, though.
Wow.
We watched Bozo. It was out of Chicago. So anyway. But the point is that that's what they did when you're a little kid. Okay, but now you have these adults and these kids, and that's what they're doing.
Right.
How is that? How are they learning anything? No, they're distracted. They're not learning the Bible. You're not teaching them. And by the way, they need to be in the service with their parents.
That's right.
And if you
right.
want to play some games... Play them at home with your own children.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen?
Exactly.
Amen. Or go to a park and all the church can go play in the park somewhere and you can play. That's fine, okay? Amen. But don't call it a church service and act like it's a youth service and act like it's church. Act like it's the assembly and you're actually doing something biblical.
Yeah.
Or like having events where, hey, let's all go watch the Super Bowl. What do you want to watch that wicked mess for?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Supporting a halftime show where a lady is getting paid to do Baphomet, to promote Baphomet and everything else. Right, a bunch of beer commercials, wickedness. Come on, it's time for God's people to stop being distracted by that nonsense.
Amen.
And stand up and say, you know what, I don't want to be part of that stuff.
Right.
I'm going to be busy about the Lord's work, about my Father's business,
Amen.
And not be taken with the world, and not be taken with NASCAR. Right, Brother BJ?
Right.
He knows about NASCAR. Right? That was his testimony.
Right?
Yep. What's that?
Dale Jr. Yeah.
You like Dale Jr.?
Yeah. Oh.
You're not supposed to be talking still. So we teach children, though, that by doing that everything is supposed to be fun.
Right.
So children, well, I don't want to go there because it's not fun.
Nothing's sober.
First of all, child,
right.
You don't go somewhere just because it's fun.
Right.
Whoever told you that has taught you wrong, and that needs to change. You don't go somewhere just for fun. Like I teach my son, that no, you know, your life is not about just having fun.
Right.
Okay, that your life is about work. Right?
Yep.
You're going to be a man someday, and you're going to have to take care of a wife someday, and you're going to have to work.
Amen.
You know what? So we work, and then we play.
Right.
But we work. That's what we do.
Right.
Your life is not about just having fun and playing games and everything. Every moment of your life is about somebody entertaining you.
Right.
That's the first thing I noticed when we stopped watching television and watching movies and all that kind of stuff. I noticed that, like, my kids were just like, when I was working and things, my kids were like gathering around me. Just the two youngest ones. The other ones never watched anything. The two older ones, the only ones that ever watched it. And the other ones, they don't even have a clue, you know, about it. But they would just like go like this. And they're like all in your face. Like you're trying to work. It's like, what's wrong with you? I don't have anything to do. Oh, yes, you do. We're going to find it right now. But it was like, but you know what? You actually have to parent them.
Yeah, believe that.
Right? Isn't that a novel idea? You actually have to parent them instead of setting them in front of a television and distracting them for hours.
Right.
You actually teach them, you engage them, you play with them, you love them, you care for them, and you teach them what they need to know.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
Which is what's supposed to be done at church. Your children are supposed to sit here, and yeah, they're supposed to squirm, and they're going to cry a little bit, and they're going to be uncomfortable sometimes, and that preacher's going to go an hour and a half sometimes, and it's going to be crazy. They're going to fall asleep. Things are going to happen. All of those things are going to take place. But you know what? That ought to teach them that is normal. That is life. Sometimes you go places. Sometimes you do things that are not always comfortable and pleasure seeking.
Right. Yep.
But we're so distracted today that they have to be entertained constantly. A long day in the house of God is not about entertainment, so your mind can be detained and held in custody. It's not about entertainment. No. It's about the Lord.
Amen.
It's about honoring God.
Amen.
It's not about us. It's not about pleasing our own flesh. In fact, it ought not please our flesh. It ought to crucify our flesh. Every time we hear preaching, every time we pray, we ought to be humbled, and it ought to crucify our flesh.
Right. Amen.
Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, please. And if you haven't been watching too many movies, you might be able to find it. It's in the Old Testament, yes. Yes, Joshua, it's in the Old Testament. Next to Hezekiah.
Yes. Book of Absalom.
I was just kidding, Adam. There is no Hezekiah. I've heard that joke. It's lame. I've already heard it. Better try another one, Pastor. Thanks. Oh, he asked a bunch of Mormons that? Oh, it wasn't even me. Okay, good.
James Lyman.
Oh, no. We'll talk about that later. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, okay, verse number 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. What's he saying here? He's saying that sober-mindedness,
right.
Seriousness is better than constant entertainment and amusements and pleasure-seeking. Because those are distractions from reality. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Amen. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. So, he is putting into perspective that, you know, I'm not be after foolishness all the time and run after those things, but there's a seriousness, there's a soberness. We're not to be entertained all the time. That's why it's hard to discipline yourself to prayer and Bible and study and everything else. It's very hard to discipline yourself. But why? Because we live in a country where entertainment is right here.
Right.
I mean, it's so easy to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Constantly, night and day, It's at our, we have access to it constantly. Right? And it's so easy to be detained by that. Next, social media and cell phone access to the internet. Nate talked about this in his sermon, so I'm not going to really get into this a whole lot, but we should all use these devices that God has provided for us to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
This should not be used for the glory of God. It ought to be used for that. Amen? That's what it should be used for. I can use my cell phone for the preaching and teaching of God's Word and to study the Word of God and have instant access to online teaching and study, or I can use it for wickedness. This can be used for wickedness. It can be used for games and pornography and mindless entertainment. Nothing wrong with games all the time. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that it could be used for that mindlessly, and that's what it could be used for.
Right.
Or it just fills my heart and my head up, and that's my main focus all the time is entertaining myself. There are people that go on social media, and it can be a great distraction. I have social media accounts. I've got like two or three of them, and I do things with them. Use them for the glory of God. I try to. Amen.
Yeah.
And it's been a tool that has helped thousands of people. All right, using sermon audio, using YouTube, using everything. Thousands of people have been impacted by it.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
But it can also be a great distraction that leads to endless arguing and unprofitable communication.
Right.
That's why I block most people on there that won't argue. I just block them. You're like, you block people fast. I know, because I don't have time to waste.
Right.
I used to spend a lot of time on that, and I stopped doing it because I don't have time for it.
Right.
And I figured out that they really don't want help. They really just want to drag you into their mess and detain you, right? So I got over it, the fact that people are going to disagree with me and they're not going to, and they just want to waste your time. Now, sometimes you have to answer, as a pastor, I have to answer some things. Because this, we have an online ministry of things going on, we have to answer some things. So we do. We're in the public, we're out there. You know, in the square preaching, we're out all over the country preaching, and people follow our ministry, so I have to answer some things. I have to do that. Just like today with that video, I had to answer some things. But if you're going on Facebook and all those other things, and all you're, and you're not really edifying your brethren, and you're not doing, and all you're doing is wasting time, playing games and wasting time, you're wasting valuable time.
Yep.
How much are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Are you seeking God's face? Are you getting alone with God? Are you spending that time with God? Or are you just online to play games and not, and social media and gossip and everything else, but not follow the Lord and not obey God? There are people that go on there and all that's all they do is want to cause trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, people used to send those games all the time. I used to hate those.
Yeah.
What was that really dumb game that everybody sent like forever? Oh, that Candy Crush game in the farm. What was that?
Farmville.
Yeah. Hated that thing. They would always send it. And then you would see like new people that came to Facebook would start getting mad when people, stop sending me those requests. They'd just like blow up and I'm like laughing at it. Like, rookie.
They just send it out
if
you have a game.
Finally got Garrett to quit sending me it's Candy Crush and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, right, Garrett. Don't blame you. What are you blaming your wife for? Knock that off. No, Garrett's never sent me a game request. Neither did Joshua. He wasn't on there long enough. He was gone like three.
He had to get out of there.
He had to get out of there. He was being detained. He broke out.
Yeah.
All things are to be done decent and in order, though, the Bible says. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient.
Right.
We should not be taken captive by anything. If you cannot control your time on a smartphone, maybe you shouldn't have one.
Amen.
If you can't control your time on it, control your actions on it. I mean, there's a time to work. I have a time during the day where I'm working a lot, and at night when my children are around, I kind of put it away and I try to do something with them. But, you know, I'm doing stuff all day on there, and, you know, then we got to put it away. We got to do something else. You know, and it's easier to get a hold of pastors now more than ever, so a lot of times I need to start putting this away from me a little bit more often at night and things like that, because I too can get, people want to have instant communication. You know, I have to have an answer right away.
Yep.
Have to have an answer right away. No, they don't need an answer. Unless it's an emergency, they really don't need an answer right away.
Right.
Just put it away, and then you get a hold of them when you get a hold of them.
Amen.
You know? But Nate covered all those statistics already in his sermon, so I'm not going to go into them, but he had some good statistics there on cell phone use and everything else like that and all that kind of stuff. But it's a caution for all of us. I mean, I used to do a lot more on there than I do now even. I still do a lot, but I used to do a lot more. you know, and I try to, you know, limit that. And I'm still working on that myself, amen, because I get busy with things and I get taken sometimes too as well. So it's an important thing to be able to deal with and balance. All right, next, we can be distracted by service for the Lord. Amen. Now, this is interesting. Turn to Luke chapter 10. And Luke chapter 10.
Yep.
I haven't been looking at the clock here. I should see how... Oh, this is not... This is easy. This is only an hour and 5 minutes. Huh? Yeah, we don't have a time limit. This is nothing. I mean, these guys got food. They're buffeted back here. They just keep walking back and forth. They're just like, PJ, I'm boring. PJ, he's trying to stay awake. He's like, this is forever, man. Did he? You can't tell anybody that. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. I am. Oh, he's jealous of what PJ got to eat? No, he's not. That guy had 3 hamburgers, 3 cupcakes, and 3 cannolis yesterday. He's not jealous of anybody. Is that about right? Was that right?
About right. One cannoli.
Lee, you used to be my food hero. Now it's kind of switching over to Garrett a little bit here. It's like a passing here to Garrett here. That's right, because the age here, he's in his 20s. He can get away with it so much, and he's, you know. We don't need a gluttony challenge, okay? Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. Joshua was looking over me like, I got this. I just ate at Taco John's. I got this. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So what happened was, is here she was distracted by much labor. There are people that in the ministry that they have to be careful. You have to be careful not to sacrifice your family, not to sacrifice, your life, basically, and your devotion to the Lord, even in service. There are a lot of people, I've seen it in Fundamental Baptist churches, where that, man, they're running bus routes, they're running ministries, they're doing all these things, and their family is suffering. Itinerary preachers. Their family is suffering.
Right.
They're without their family. They're. You know, the first thing you want to do. You know what amazes me? Here's something that Brother PJ brought up, and it's so true. The first thing that you do when Kent Hovind got out of prison, the first thing that he did was run out and, man, he's putting videos out, he's popping videos out, he's doing all this work, he's talking to people, he's doing all this ministry. Well, you've been away from your wife for 9 years.
Right. Yep.
Something wrong there.
I mean, you should be, that's your first ministry.
That's right.
Right.
Your wife who has been alone for 9 years waiting for you to come back. But that's not what fundamentalism teaches. Soul winning. That's all they talk about. He's a good soul winner. He's a good soul winner. Yeah, but, I mean, he might not be a very good husband, though.
Right.
Now, I'm not passing judgment on anybody as far as his... I'm saying if... That should not be, though, the first thing that you run to is out to serve the Lord, out to make videos and whatever else. Why wouldn't you be spending... I mean, first of all, about the only thing I could be thinking of is like, okay, we don't have any children at home, all right? We're going on vacation for like 3 months
right.
somewhere.
Amen.
I'm not going to see any of you. I'm not going to contact any of you.
Right.
I'm not going to have any smartphone, any devices like that to contact you. I'm going to go spend 3 months with my wife. That's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
Amen.
Why? Because you can't possibly think that there was no damage done to her to that by doing it. And I've seen it with pastors. I've seen that happen.
Yep.
I've watched it happen. I had to be careful about a year and a half ago about letting some things slip and not taking care of some things. And I had to repent to my wife and get right and say, you know what? Nope, I'm going to fix this right now. And I repented to God and I fixed it and got some things right. Amen. Right, yep. And it was necessary. I had to. Had to. Because I was letting work and man, everything just seemed to like move really fast. And everything was like growing and all this online stuff was taking place, and I was trying to learn to balance all that, and I was distracted.
Yeah.
I was distracted by it. It's another reason why in like a month or so, Lord willing, I'm taking off with my family on a vacation. I'm leaving for like 10 days. I'm getting out of here. Amen?
Amen.
I need to. I need to spend some time with my family. I need to get away and spend some good time with my family and have a good time with them and give them some undevoted attention.
Amen?
So, I don't know where I'm going yet, but Lord willing, I'm going. Amen? So, what's that?
Undevoted.
Did I mean devoted attention. Sorry, did I say undevoted? Devoted, yeah. Undevoted. Oops. That didn't sound right. Undivided attention.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. What's that? Are they getting better? It's because Nate's not here to persecute me. He's at home right now, so he can't make fun of me that bad. So I, you know.
It is persecution.
Jacob and him doing it to each other all the time online. Jacob and Nate, they're grammar Nazis online. They're. Yeah. Anyway, but you've got to. I've watched families rift apart because of this.
Yep.
Because of not taking care of your family. You know, people that go out and they'll evangelize four or five times a week and they're never home
yep.
with their family.
No.
That's
yep.
not good for anybody's family.
Yeah.
That's not good for anybody to be away all the time like that. I mean, we have to work.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But you'll make your children despise the ministry if you're not careful.
Right.
Or your wife if you're not careful.
Yep. Right.
You have to be careful with that. You have to have a balance there with that. By the way, that's with work or anything. You've got to have a balance with that and be careful. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 11:1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. If you have a false balance in your life somewhere, it's an abomination to God.
Right.
Think about that.
Amen.
Amen. Martha was cumbered about with much serving and couldn't sit at the feet of Jesus and learn. She was distracted by service. It doesn't mean, you know, you can't work hard. No, God honors hard work. Amen? But it means that you ought to be in your Bible, you ought to be praying, you ought to be doing all of those things that God wants you to do. You have no excuse not to be in the Bible. I don't know if you notice that. If you're saved here and a child of God, you have no excuse not to be. You can't
right.
think of a good enough excuse.
Amen.
All right? You'll never have one.
Right.
All right? You'll never have a good enough excuse of why you can't pray.
Right.
Amen. You'll never have a good enough excuse for that. And you'll never have a good enough excuse of why you neglect your family.
Right.
Amen? Putting things in perspective. Hey, guys, sometimes I realize you're not going to be able to come out some Saturdays.
Right.
I realize that. I or whenever we go out. I realize there's going to be some that you're not going to be able to.
Yep.
All right? I get it. You've never heard me say, well, if you're not here, then you're not right with God. No, that's what Fundy pastors tell you.
Right.
And then they pressure your family so much.
Yeah.
And they lay guilt trips on you. I have never done that to any of you. I've never made you try to make you feel guilty if you don't show up on the, like that. Except Garrett. I do sometimes him. But
he's the opposite.
No, I told him. He's not supposed. I said, hey, man, you just got married. You're supposed to comfort your wife.
For a year.
So if I see him anytime, I'm happy. Amen. Now he's got the work ahead of him. That's right. So praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we thank the Lord for that. And Brother Joshua as well. You know, newly married, I expect you to spend time with your wife. Amen. Some of you old married ones expect you to also. Amen. Yeah. I mean, you can take something and you can put it. You can have a false balance, and then you end up causing more damage than you do good.
Right,
and
right.
sometimes, it's not expedient that you leave home.
Yep.
Sometimes it's better if you stay. It's like coming back from this trip. There was the biggest CCM concert of the year here in Minneapolis. Hillsong and all the other perverts. Right? Hillsong and the perverts. They are. They're all a bunch of perverts. But anyway, they were up there, and it was the day after I was coming back they were going to be there. Everybody said, are you going to go? No. Why? I've been gone for four days serving the Lord in the ministry in Texas. I'm not going to come back and be like, hey, see you later.
Yeah.
Why? It's not right. I've been gone for 4 days. You know, there's going to be another concert up there.
Right.
There's going to be more people up there. There's going to be thousands of people up there. And we have all summer, amen, and all spring. And you know what? That's just one concert.
Amen.
And I've been gone for 4 days, and I need to spend time with my family.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So that's putting things in perspective. All right, now, Gary, plus we had a busy 2 or 3 weeks here. Working and doing it. Roy was working. Jacob was working. All these men here working in this building and doing everything and getting everything. And Lee's working late at night and everything else. And everybody's doing all that work here. Aaron's working and all these other things. You know what? We needed Brother Adam. Every man here was doing something, you know, here and working hard. So, you know what? I don't expect that, man, okay, let's plan another event. That's why sometimes you guys, you young guys have a lot of zeal, and I appreciate it. I love your zeal, okay? But I also have a little bit of wisdom that I'm going to tell you, no. No, we're not going to do that. No. And if I tell you no a lot, don't get mad, okay? I'm telling you no for your own good most of the time. Because I know what can happen if you get carried away. And, well, let's start this ministry. Let's do this and let's do that. Hey, calm down. All right? No more caffeine for a few days. All right, calm down. Calm down a little bit. That's not a good idea. All right? Why is that not a good idea? Well, because we have a lot of things going on here. We can be easily distracted by that, and then your other priorities are not going to be met. Our other priorities as a ministry are not going to be met. We have a lot going on here.
Yep.
For a little ministry, we have a lot going on. And we have to be careful not to add too many things and do too many things at once.
Amen.
And become distracted.
Right.
Very quickly. Like Martha. We can be, was it Martha that was cumbered about?
Yep.
Much serving. You know, she was carried away with it. She was cumbered about with it. She was taken with it, right? She couldn't understand, well, why do you just want to sit there at the feet of Jesus and listen to him? There's work to do. Well, there's a time to sit at the feet of Jesus.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. There's an important time to do that. We need to be careful that we don't sacrifice those things. Okay. Next, and I think it's the last one. Yeah, this is the last one. It helps to combat distraction. So some helps that I think will help you. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews 12, verse number 2. We can read verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
What do? We keep our eyes on Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
You won't be as distracted if your eyes are on Christ. That's right. You won't sink. Turn to Matthew chapter 14, where we're going next. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus, or you will sink. You'll get taken by the wind. You'll get scared. You'll get scared of the wind. You'll get taken away by fear. You'll be consumed and taken away. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Men are going to fail you. You're going to watch that all around you. The longer you're saved, the more you will see men around you and different men, they will fail you.
Right.
They will fall away or they will leave. Okay, yeah. They will walk away. They will depart. And some of them are not of us.
Right.
And that's why they'll leave. Not all, but some that leave, they're not of us. Seek the second thing to keep from distractions or to combat distractions is to seek things above. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1 and 2.
Amen.
Seek things above. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God.
Amen.
Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. For why? For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
Amen? You're dead. Christ is our life. That's right. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Amen?
Amen.
So you've got to seek things above. Seek things that are above. Set your affections. What does it mean to set? Set your affection. Fix your affections on things above. Don't gather up treasure on this earth, but treasure in heaven.
Amen.
Your affections, your heart should be fixed. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Go back and listen to that sermon on a fixed heart.
Amen.
All right, your heart should be fixed.
Right.
That's what it needs to be in order to have victory. What's that? Yeah, that's right. Fixed, that's right. All right. Oops. And then James. Turn to James. Chapter 4, verse number 7, the next help to combat distractions, James chapter 4, verse 7, is to submit and resist.
Amen.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You got to fight the devil.
Amen.
That's what it means to resist. It means to fight. You submit, you give in to God, but you resist, and you fight the devil.
Right.
How? We fight him through the Spirit.
Yep.
Amen? Amen? Through the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Right.
We put our armor on and we fight.
Amen.
And we don't take our armor off. Your armor doesn't go off until you're in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
You're perfected.
Right.
Then you'll be made new completely. Amen? So you're resurrected and made new. Resist, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil. That'll help you combat distractions. Mark chapter 6, verse number 31. You need to get alone and meditate on important biblical things. Put the cell phone away, pray and seek God's face, and ignore all of the distractions. Everybody needs that time. Mark 6, 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. What was he telling them? Hey, sometimes you need to get alone and meditate on God's word. You need to get alone and pray. You need to get alone and meditate on God's word. That'll help you keep from distractions. And you'll be distracted in that. The devil will always try to distract you in that.
Yep.
So you have to have the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, and the shield of faith. To quench all the fiery darts. Because where do the fiery darts go? Right to your head. So you need that helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit. It goes right into your mind. The mind is the battlefield. In your mind, that's the battlefield. Your mind and your heart, that's where the real battle takes place. Whatever manifests out is just a manifestation of what is happening in your mind, okay, where the battlefield is. Get alone and meditate on God's word. Your family should know that's an important time for you to be alone with the Lord and should not be interrupted. Your family should know that, hey, oh, this is a time that I'm with the Lord and it shouldn't be interrupted by anything. Right? Mark chapter 1, verse number 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. See that? He was rising up in the morning. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. A solitary place. He was alone by himself, right?
Right.
And he was in a spot where he could pray, and he was alone, and he prayed. Right? And that's our example. That's what we need to do. Then there's Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. The next thing to help with distractions is meditate on Scripture. Your mind will not be detained by something else. if you are meditating on God's word, right? If you are meditating on God's word, then the distractions will be minimal as you battle them. I mean, you're going to battle them. There's always going to be something that wants your attention. Something or someone. Amen? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It says day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I think I preached a sermon on that called The Real Prosperity Gospel, or something like that. I can't remember. But anyway, can't remember, but it was something like that. Also then, be not conformed by this world, but be transformed. Your mind needs to be renewed every day. Okay, by the renewing of your mind. With Scripture, we need to renew our minds daily. So Romans chapter 12 talks about that, to renew our mind. All right, we need to renew our mind in the Word of God all the time. Why? Because the distractions are all around us. But when our mind is renewed in the Word, then we're refreshed and we're able to battle and able to fight and able to keep from being distracted. Also prioritize things. Prioritize things that you will not compromise on in your day for anything. Bible reading, prayer time, meditation. Let nothing stop you from those things. You have those things that are, this is the way it is, this is what we're going to do. And we are going to make sure that, you know, I'm going to make sure that I do this every single day. This is what I do. I study my Bible, I read my Bible, I pray. This is what I do.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
That's important. Some of you guys that drive a truck, you probably have a lot of time to do that. You have a lot of windshield time. Amen. And you can use that time for that too. You know, for praying. A lot of good time of prayer and listen to sermons or whatever you can, but a lot of good time of praying. Amen? Some others don't have that kind of time, so they have to take it when they get it. But if you have a commute to work, it's a great time. You're by yourself.
Yeah.
Amen? You're by yourself, pray.
Yep.
Spend that 45 minutes or that you're in traffic. Instead of getting mad at the traffic, pray. You'll find that time goes really fast, and you'll be to work already. You'll be like, wow, I prayed for 45 minutes or however long it was and through this traffic jam, and I'm fine. And then, you know, the time went fast.
Amen.
Amen? That's what God wants us to do. Anyway, so I hope you got some things out of that. Distractions, there are so many of them. There's more that could be said about that, but there are many, and we need to be careful and be aware of those distractions and not be taken captive or not be detained, have our minds detained by other things. Amen? Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. And Lord, help us to live it every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.